Hi, welcome to Salt and Burn This. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Valerie.
And this is our Supernatural Rewatch podcast.
Each week, we're going to break down an episode in order with lots of details, so nothing's left out.
And we throw in some personal nuggets and stories and research to mix it up just a little bit.
Because not only are we fans of the show, but like Sam and Dean, we've also had our fill of road trips.
Yeah, but for theater, not for hunting ghosts and demons.
And not in a super sexy muscle car.
Anyway, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, wait, we have to do some banter. We just used up all of our banter.
We did.
Oh, I have some banter. Okay. Yeah. So, a friend of the family, this was kind of a sad but happy story. Mm-hmm. Friend of the family, like my mom's, how do I explain this? My mom's best friend and our family, her kids and our family, we all kind of grew up together, not at the same time every day, but like we'd go on family vacations together. We'd all rent the same house together, or we'd all go do the same, you know, vacations together. And but I was the youngest out of all of them. So I was slightly disconnected from the group only because I was the little. My mom's best friend's youngest son was just, I think, a year older than my sister Julianne. Growing up, he ended up being like a DJ in the sense of not in a, you know, wiki, you know, scratch the record DJ, but one of those, somebody who collected an amazing record collection, mm-hmm. and would spin records, you know, in the classical sense of being a DJ. He started a band, you know, all this stuff. But he tragically passed away at a young age because of a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until recently that his dad decided to sell his record collection. He decided to like auction it off. So it turns out that there was a record collector here in Charlotte who saw it, wasn't even the owner of the store, of the record store. It's like one of his assistants saw an advertisement for this auction and called his boss who was on vacation and said, "You have to look at this. You have to look at what records are available in this collection." This guy, the record store owner, came back from vacation and drove out to Tennessee, where his dad's house, mm-hmm. is. And he literally lives on a mountain. And, you know, had to walk up all the steps, go down into the basement to view this collection of over 3,500 records.
Oh my God.
And the guy bid on them. He collected all of them, brought them all back to Charlotte, cataloged them, and then did a huge sale on them. He made a video about it. He didn't even have to do that, but he did a video about it. He did a video about Chris, who was the, you know, the DJ and the record collector. Uh-huh. And every album that was from his collection, he put a sticker on. And the sticker has a QR code that leads to the video, which shows how they went about getting this collection and what it meant to have this record collection. It was so cool. So,
you got one.
Can you see what it is?
Kansas! Oh my God!
It's the original album and the original album art with Wayward
Carry
Son.
On. Oh my God. Yes.
Yep. And here's the sticker.
Oh, that's a cool
with
sticker.
The QR code. Chris Whitson. And
that's awesome.
I don't have a record player anymore. I am going to get a record, but
yeah.
This is the album I got. The original Kansas album with that's Wayward awesome. Son. He had the most amazing collection. Anyway, so that's my story. I ended up getting for my sister, he had the Muppet movie, you know, with their Rainbow Connection on it. He had the gamut of music he had. He had jazz, he had Kansas. He had the Muppet Show, 3,500 albums in Uncle Bob's basement.
Wow.
Uncle Bob Whitson's basement. And I mean, when they opened the doors on the sale, the line was around the block for people to come in. And by the time
Wow.
I got there, I don't want to say it was slim pickings, but it was like slim pickings.
Yeah.
So anyway, super cool. I got an album for everybody in my family. So it was super fun. I got my parents a George Carlin album. I got my brother a Queen album. It was just fun. It was good stuff. So anyway,
that's a really cool story.
That's my story. So I was going to hold on to that story because I wanted to wait for the next time they played Wayward Son.
Oh, that's going to be like a year from now.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to break down and do it.
Yeah, yeah,
but anyway,
yeah, yeah.
So my next purchase is going to be a record player.
A record player. And then you could play it for that episode.
Yes.
When we do
yes,
that finale.
Exactly.
Season 5, Episode 2. Good God, y'all. Sam and Dean's battle to save a demon-infested town places them in the violent path of War, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Meanwhile, Castiel searches for his father, God. Written by Sarah Gamble and directed by Phil Skrycha. So two supernatural...
stalwart.
Yes.
So... I have to admit, it took me longer than it should have to recognize the good God, y'all. I knew what it was, but it was like, I didn't connect it to the war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. So, I mean, I got the, you know, good God, y'all, in the sense of God.
We haven't had like
the actual play on the song.
Like a guest star?
What in a while.
Yeah.
And this time we do. And I want to say once again, Supernet, anytime there is a guest star, you're like, oh, they just gave it away by giving the guest star like the role. You know?
Yeah.
The,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, it's this guy.
Yes. It's this guy because he is always the bad guy. In anything that I have ever seen him, he plays the villain.
Right? Right? Except for the show he's currently doing. So Titus Welliver, who plays the title role of War in this episode. He was on Lost. He was been in Deadwood. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He was on Suits, and right now he's the title character of Bosch, which is now like not just Bosch anymore. It's like Bosch, like reinvented or something like that. It's like Bosch, you know, part
two. I'm only
two
vaguely
or
aware of that show, but
He's a cop. He's a cop, but he's a good cop. But
oh,
he like he's on but he's just on the fringe of.
I see.
You know, he's good, but everything he does is like
he's the bad cop. He's like the good cop, bad cop partnership. He's the bad cop.
Yes.
I don't know.
He's the hard ass.
Yeah.
Who plays by his own rules. He's always getting in trouble, even though he's truly doing the right thing. It's always the wrong thing when it comes to like the law. You know, he catches the bad guy, but he did it the wrong way type of thing.
Right. Right.
So
he was also on SVU at least twice, and both times he's played.
He was the bad guy.
The bad guy. And he's in one of them. He's like a recurring bad guy, like which they don't do very often. You know, he's like he's not a serial killer or serial rapist. Well, maybe he is a serial rapist. I don't know. But he's definitely one that like gets away with it or like lawyers his way out of the first initial thing and then comes back at least once. So
oh my God. So I mean he's great. He's good at what he does. And it took me a second. The first time I saw him, I was like, I know this guy. And it took me a second because of how, I hate to say it, how old these episodes are now.
Yeah.
You know, the people we know now are older. And so you have to be like, oh, wait, that was them back, you know, 20, years ago.
Yeah.
So yes, and I loved him. I loved him in this. It was a simple role for him. You know,
yeah.
It was a simple
yeah.
role, but I think he played it. He did a very good job.
Yeah.
On it.
All right. So in our recap, which is a road so far kind of recap, not just a then.
Yes.
And it comes complete with its own little soundtrack.
Yes.
Of,
Long Way Home.
Yep.
Warner.
It's a pretty simple recap. It's just kind of the events of last week, plus some cameos from Rufus and the Roadhouse gang. So
yes,
we know we're
I
gonna
did
see
big
them.
Exclamation point. I went, Rufus, Ellen, Joe. I'm like, when I saw that, I was like, yay, we get to see them.
2 years since we've seen them.
Yeah. And it for a hot second, I was like, did they die? You know?
Right.
I had to think
right.
back. I'm like, did they die? Did
yeah.
I just forget? But it also hit on, it was a big chunk of like Sam struggling with his powers,
mm-hmm.
struggling with, you know, his addiction, you know, like the demon blood addiction.
Mm-hmm.
They glanced on, you know, Dean being the Michael Sword.
Yeah.
And starting the apocalypse. That oops. And it ended, of course, with I don't think that I can trust you, with Dean not trusting Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to ask, was there a long gap, do you know, between episode 1 and 2? Did I ask you this last time?
Like physically? Like airtime?
Yeah.
Let me
air
see.
Time.
No, just 1 week.
Okay.
Why?
Okay.
Because
I don't know.
Of
there was
the...
just it just seems like there was like it was because it was like you said it was more of a the road so far as opposed
mm-hmm.
to just a recap. I was just wondering why they hit the you know the
I'm
road so
guess,
far.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's because this really hit the meat of like the story that they're going for this year. I don't know, kind of meant to be an extra long premiere episode. Not that I think
Okay.
it. Houred for you know it aired as a 2 hour episode, but maybe that's kind of what their plan was.
Okay. Yeah, it just
yeah,
struck
I felt
me
like
as
the first one was like the immediate aftermath, the events of the
yes.
season 4 finale, and then this one is okay. What did that set into effect? You
right.
know, for
right.
the
What
long haul.
What got into what motion? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. So we open up with Bobby in a
yeah.
wheelchair suffering the after effects of him stabbing himself to kill
mm-hmm.
the demon
yeah.
that had possessed him. I love that Bobby is like in this fluffy little blue robe sitting in a wheelchair. Now, I have to say, again, the way the scene is set up in this hospital room, it's only meant to be glanced at, but of course I didn't just glance at it. I kind of leaned into it, which is
mm-hmm.
I apologize for what I'm about to say. But he's in this wheelchair. He's in this sad baby blue robe. He's looking out the window. Sam is watching him from outside the door. In the hallway, there's a sign on the wall that's like, you know, patient exercise facility, patient bathing facility. So clearly, Bobby's in a space where he cannot take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he literally has to be taken down the hall to be bathed or to be exercised. He's needing a lot of care. On his bedside table, actually, on his bed table tray, there's, you know, a cup of water, and there's a Bible, which I thought was interesting, that he was thumbing through. You don't see him thumbing through, but the Bible is open on his, you know, bed table. So then we see Dean walk in. So sorry, I did a little deep dive on just how sad that Bobby is. No words are spoken at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean walks in holding a giant, you know, envelope of x-rays that
yeah.
it turns out he went and got himself x-rayed.
Yeah,
and
of
it
his
turns
own
out,
chest. And it's
yes,
just like, they are all tattooed up, his rib bones and
his
sternum.
Ribs are just like, yeah, they're like carved Enochian sigils.
Could you imagine
you know?
being the x-ray tech, like,
tech?
Finding that?
What the?
How did you
and
do
he's like,
this?
Yeah, not only that, but then Dean is like, yeah, you got him too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Sam. And it was very elaborate too. I mean, it wasn't
mm-hmm.
just like a couple of like sigils here and there. It was like every rib
no,
bone
covered.
Had.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then Cass calls Sam on the cell phone, on his cell phone, and is like, where are you guys?
Because not only these sigils hide them from angels, but it's all angels. Cass is an angel. So it's like, I gotta find you the old way.
It's like, I gotta call you, which I thought was hysterical.
So Cass is there to tell them that he's going to find the one being that can help them with their ludicrous plan to kill Lucifer, because they can't just go in by themselves and kill right. the devil. You know,
and who would that be? Who can help them?
Well, that would be God.
That would be God. But at the same time, he also has to tell Bobby, who's like, you know, step up, Feather Boy, and heal me. Lay on those healing hands. Cass is like, oh, I can't, because I'm cut off from heaven.
Yeah.
I'm cut off from heaven's powers. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But let's go find God. God can do it.
Yeah.
Title splash.
Yes.
Which I forgot to mention, that because, you know, we described what the title splash is with the blood and the water type of thing. Yeah. I forgot to mention that there's also this like heartbeat, the boom, mm-hmm. boom, mm-hmm. which I don't know why I didn't know that last time, but added little supernatural boom, boom, booms. So coming back from the title splash, Dean has doubts about God's existence at all. And Cass is like, shuts that down. He's like, it's not about theology at this point. It's about, what does he say?
It's like strategic or something. Strategy. Strategic,
exactly. It's not about your belief. It's, this is the person who can, this is the thing that's going to help you.
Yeah, he put us on, he put you on the airplane. He, you know, brought me back from being exploded. So,
yeah,
he's going to have to do it. And he also reminds Dean that I killed two of my brothers for you, and you failed your mission. So, shut up.
Yeah, he's like, keep your opinions to yourself. I am hunted. I am on the run. I did all of this for you. I gave up everything and I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your little human opinions to yourself. And I wrote down, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I love it when Cass has these moments of strength, mm-hmm. because too often in the coming seasons, he's very much the comic foil. I mean, I like that he's the comic foil. I do like that. They have his moments. But when he shows his strength like this, it really makes you want to follow Cass's lead, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to him just being the butt of jokes.
Right. And they start into it a little bit here. I don't remember what he said, but I remember, you know, chuckling a little bit
about looking for Jesus on a flatbread.
Yes. Yes. He is not on a flatbread, a tortilla. Dean. Cass is there with them because he needs an amulet in order to find God, because this special amulet burns in the presence of God when it is near it. And like, everyone's looking at each other like, well, I don't know why you're here, because we don't have
it. Bobby's like, I don't have it. Yeah. Yeah. And then pointed glance at, you know, Dean's chest, mm-hmm. you know, is at the amulet. And Cassiel says, I need your amulet. Dean says, no. No, I don't think so. But here's a question about the amulet. Knowing what we know, is this going to be a spoiler? I can say spoiler alert. Knowing what we know, that he's saying that the amulet glows in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't it? I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, because I do know the answer to this, because this was never the thing to begin with.
Never the thing.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they knew that Dean wanted to have accoutrements and like trinkets and things. And then whatever season it was that Sam gave it to him, they're like, oh, we can put a little backstory of why this necklace is so special to Dean. It's because his brother gave it to him. And then it wasn't until this episode that it became even more something.
Okay.
And I'm also going to gonna burst your bubble a little bit. Jensen actually didn't like this necklace.
I know. It chipped his tooth.
Yeah.
It chipped his tooth during a fight scene. He was like, done with it.
Yeah, so he was like so happy to get rid of this necklace for this season, to be like, yes, take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, no, that's not bursting my bubble at all. I was waiting for the moment to be able to tell everybody that one of the reasons that they got rid of it was because he literally chipped his tooth on it.
Yeah, because he kept forgetting to switch it out for the rubber one. Because there was a rubber version of it, but I don't know why he didn't just wear it all the time. I guess because it bounces too much.
I hate that. So Dean reluctantly hands it over to Cass. And of course says the one thing that you should never say when you give something to somebody, which is don't lose this, which means you're going to lose it. And yeah. Because I also just lost a set of keys to one of the rehearsal spaces I'm supposed to be working in. And don't lose these. Okay. Boop.
Next, we cut to a scene of Rufus in the middle of a war zone.
Intense firefight yeah. with some badass weapons. I tried to look up what it was that Rufus had.
No, his gun, was, man.
It was a gun. It was a gun. It was like a
big old gun.
Military shotgun, like a Spaz 12 or something. And that's the only thing I could come up with. So if you guys want to correct me on what the actual weapon was, it was badass and frightening.
Yes. And as he's like pulling out one of his buddies to like, you know, tie him out of the way. Bleeding leg. God.
Tourniquet him with a belt and a piece of wood.
Yeah, that's the word. He calls Bobby and is like, I need help. I am in a town infested with demons. I'm in River Pass, Colorado. Help, help, help. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yes. So. Yes. Line goes dead. I did think it funny, though, that Bobby was on speed dial. I was like, good move. Good move. But so there, Rufus is in River Pass, Colorado, which is a real town in the Rockies. So not a made up supernatural town. And so now Sam and Dean are on their way.
Yeah,
to go help Rufus. Yep. And as they're driving, they come up to this like blown out bridge, which means they can't go any further.
Yep.
They have to go into this town on foot. I just want to do another spoiler. I hate to do this. We will see this bridge again.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes,
that's
what I thought. It is. Yeah. Now, I also want to say I've seen this bridge before. And not in person. In other TV, in other TV lands. I want to say that I saw it in any episode of The Walking Dead, but The Walking Dead is filmed in Georgia.
Yeah,
so I know that this probably wasn't the same bridge, but it's very familiar to me. I've seen this in TV land, not in real life.
It's probably in Psych a couple of times.
Right?
I think they film like the same
everything
they
in
shared
Canada.
A lot of locations
indeed.
So bridge is out, there's no cell reception. It's like, all right, I guess we're hiking since the demons have this place like on lockdown.
Insert Spirit in the Sky.
I know, I love that playing. Song I love the song. Soundtrack of this episode,
it's very
I
good.
Also really like the transition. It's very cute the way that they did this, where they're walking into the town, like the music is playing as a soundtrack
we hear it. Yes,
they're seeing like all the like car wrecks, like everywhere there's a car upside down,
there's
a car
that's
smashed
glass.
Up ahead. It's just like a lot of ruin everywhere, and then
chaos.
They come up chaos. And then they come up to another car that's still running. And then the music is coming from the car and the radio.
From the car.
It's like, ah, oh, that's cute.
That's so awesome. I had to look that up, though. I was like, what is that in TV speak? And it is called Diegic Music. D-I-E-G-I-C music. Hmm. It starts as extra diegic, which means the characters don't hear it, only we do. And when it becomes source music or diegic, like the radio that they're hearing, then it becomes diegic music. So diegic sound, I guess, or source music. And I was like, I loved the way they did that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also want to do another spoiler. The car that they walk up to that is still running, that then starts, that has the music playing on the radio. We will see this car again.
Okay.
It's a 78 Lincoln Continental. We will see this again.
Okay.
Not in this episode. We'll see it again down the road.
I think I know what you're talking about. Also, just a fun little Easter egg. There's that banner that's across the town that says Pioneer Days.
Pioneer Day. Yeah.
Two of the pictures on there, the one who is labeled as Grant Marshall is the production designer named Jerry Wanick. And the one that's labeled as Rodeo Queen is the graphic artist Lee Ann Elshuk.
That's hysterical. It went by so fast. I was like, I should probably pause and look at that.
It happened to be in like some little research that
That's adorable because I was like, I know those people have got to be somebody. So this is like a little like Americana town. Green lawns, sprinkler going, kids' toys, you know, just
It's weird. Like all the outlying houses and stuff seem very normal. There's sprinklers and stuff. It's like in the middle of the road is like where everything is.
It's just chaos. Yeah. So the day was happening and then something else happened and now everybody's gone today.
Yeah.
Like this all just happened.
Yeah. And as they're coming up to one of the cars that has a giant pool of blood stain on the concrete.
And a crushed baby stroller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. It.
Yeah, it's like the music changes. I mean, because they've turned off the radio of the other car. And now it's gone from like jaunty, you know, to serious and like something is wrong. I mean, if you didn't know this before, but now it's really wrong.
Yeah.
But not before Dean comes across a like this cherry red Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
So out of all the chaos, there's all these flipped cars and they're all kind of like, I don't want to say hoopties, but they're all kind of dated vehicles.
Yeah.
And there's this like 1965 like Mustang GT, whatever, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And of course, Dean is taken aback by it for a second. You know, he's taken out of the fact that they're in this town where there's chaos. He's like, ooh, sweet car.
The squirrel.
And then they, and then they stumble upon the pool of blood and the crushed baby stroller, and the tone completely changes. Now they're back into hunter mode. Something is seriously wrong here.
Yeah. And someone, you know, sneaks up on them at gun, you know, with a gunpoint, and it's Ellen.
Ellen. Who cocks a giant freaking gun at them, and they're like, hey, she doesn't say anything except like, hey boys, and then douses Dean with holy water. Again, Dean is the one who gets it full in the face. And he's like, hey, we're us.
Right. Ellen still doesn't say anything. She just leads them into like a church that's across the street.
Right. Where they have to cross over a line of salt and under and over a devil's trap.
Yeah.
It's not until the both of them have cleared those two hurdles that she turns and is like, finally, she's like, oh my God, it's so good to see you guys.
Slap, how dare you for not calling me.
Yes. And again, it's Dean who gets across the face, like, what is wrong with you? Like full mom mode, full Ellen that we love.
Yeah. Although it is kind of like, it's still weird though, because it's like they haven't mentioned Ellen or Joe or anybody from the Roadhouse in the past two seasons.
Which is why I was like, did they die? That's why I totally was like, what happened?
Yeah, I think it's been two seasons, because the last time we saw Ellen, right, was when they were trying to close the gates of hell. In which Ghost Dad came out and they shot Yellow Eyes.
Right. But it just makes me think that because it was Joe who said to Dean, your father got my father killed, right? It's my dad is dead because of your dad. And that's how she left things. She's like, I can't. And she like walked away.
We see her one more time after that. We see her.
When Sam is possessed.
Yeah, when Sam is possessed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a long time, and she's just like, how dare you not call me? It's like, dude, I haven't really ever called her before, but okay, it's fine.
Okay. Yes,
I'm just happy to see her. Believe me, I'm happy, very, very happy to see her. So she leads them into like what I was calling a safe room throughout this whole episode, where there's just like a smattering of people, maybe like a dozen or so, maybe less.
Yeah, but it's like your stereotypical, I hate to say it, hate to be this person, but it's like your stereotypical group of survivors. You've got the pregnant woman, you know, you've got the priest, you've got the widow. You've got the soldier guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
And then the random others,
And I love Ellen. She's like, so this is like end of times? And he's like,
yeah. I feel like that's actually very close to what the Walking Dead cast was, which this happened way before Walking Dead, but...
Yes.
I'm pretty sure there was a pregnant person, there was a sheriff, there was an ex, you know, war
ex-military
guy.
Yes.
There was not a preacher, like a but there was a godly folk kind of guy.
There's like the survivalist person. Yeah. Yes.
Very like your funny. Typical kind of like video game sort of thing. It's pretty
yes.
funny.
Yes. Exactly.
So yeah, the soldier, you know, he shows off his gun.
Gun knowledge. Yes. Yeah. He can disassemble and reassemble a gun.
But yeah, she's just like, so here's what's going on. There's tons of demons. One of them has, no, she doesn't know that Joe is one of them yet. She just has separated from Joe.
Yeah. And Rufus.
Yeah. And, you know, all the boys are like, well, let's go fight. She's like, yeah, we tried that. There used to be a lot more of us.
Yeah. Now there's less than half of what we had. Yeah. So that's scary. But Sam and Dean, of course, are like, well, we got to go, you know, let's go rescue everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they noticed that there was a hardware store. They noticed there was a grocery store. So they're going to go get guns and salt.
Guns and salt.
So they head off together. But once they leave the basement, they stop and have a Sam and Dean moment of, you know, you can stay. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go do this. You know, Dean's like, you should stay. I can go do the rescuing. Yeah. And Sam's like, what do you mean? You know, let's do this together. Let's be hunters. Let's be smart about this. And Dean kind of acquiesces. He's like, okay, so Sam heads to the Quickie Mart for salt. And Dean heads off to the hardware store for guns. We see Sam like collecting, you know, sneakily throwing salt into his bag. But while he's in the Quickie Mart, two like youth, like teenage guys come youths. In. Youths, these two youths come in. And I guess they also had the same idea, not salt, but they just wanted supplies.
Yeah, they're just stocking up. And he sees them in the reflection of that, you know, mirror ball camera.
the curved mirror.
And he tries to reach for his gun, but he makes too much noise. And of course, the demon guys see him and then they start attacking. Yeah. Sam tries to exercise one of them, but can't get his words out. You know, they're
being
fighting
choked
too hard. Mm-hmm.
by the demon.
So he's forced to, you know, acquiesce and take his knife out, the demon blade, and he stabs both of them.
Yep.
Which to note, there's no like red electric demon death.
No flashy flash.
Stabbed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so while Sam is like looking at the carnage of like this blood pooling out of the guys, he looks at the demon blade and he sees, you know, the blood dripping off the blade. He runs his thumb into the blood. And of course I'm thinking, oh, is he gonna, you know, lick it or whatever. And just then Dean comes in. Now, having watched it more than just one time, the second or third time that I was watching this, I had the same thing. I was like, where was the, because when he first pulled out the knife and stabbed the demons, you couldn't tell that it was the demon blade that he had. And he didn't know he had the demon blade until he was looking at it with the blood dripping off of it. And it wasn't until the second or even third time that I watched this that I went, oh, you're right. No electricity, no demon flash, no nothing. So I thought in that moment, the first time I was like, oh no, he's going to try to drink the demon blood. Second and third time I watched it, I was like, is he thinking, oh my gosh, where was the flash? This is just blood. And that's when Dean came in and saw him staring at the blood on his knife and the blood on his thumb and seeing Sam being very confused in that moment. You know, was Sam confused that there was no demon flash, or was he confused because he was fighting over, am I tempted to taste this blood?
I think the latter, because I don't think it maybe subconsciously he was thinking, oh, they didn't die the way they usually die, but no, I don't think so, because it's not until a little bit later that both of the guys are like, wait a minute, something is weird here.
Right. So I noticed it because I watched it three or four times.
Yeah.
They didn't notice it because it happened just once.
Yeah.
They were in the heat of battle and trying to save their own lives.
Yeah.
And so I get it, but it's still, it's like, I had that question. I just felt, but I also felt so bad because Sam hadn't done anything wrong. And Dean, while he looked at him questioningly, you know, a little suspiciously, I was like, he didn't do it.
He didn't
do anything wrong.
He chose not to. I mean, yeah, he was tempted, but just because he's standing there in the middle of a pool of demon blood, you know,
doesn't mean that he didn't have the
face, you know?
Stupid face blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I still felt bad. It was like, you know, just the worst timing for Dean to walk in on that. So They go, nothing happens. They go back to the basement and where Ellen is giving like guns 101 to, you know, the civilians.
Everybody. Yeah. Yes. The Fallujah guy, you know, he's showing off and Dean brags he's a soldier of hell.
Yes. But Dean does notice that Sam has not joined the group. He's off to the side. He's looking, I don't want to say melancholy, but he's looking pensive. And Dean actually takes the time to say, you know, what's up? Yeah. You know, what's going on? Is everything okay? And Sam notably, you know, mentions that these were teenagers. Mm-hmm. You know, I just slit the throat of teenage kids. Like, I used to help people. We used to saving people. You know, we used to save people.
Well, I think he was more towards, I used to be able to save the person when I could magically choke the demon out of them, you know, with my demon blood powers. So I think that's what he was saying was,
I
wish that I could have saved him.
Saved him.
You know, I think referring back to the, you know, his attempt at exorcising them.
Exorcising them. Yeah, I get it. But I also was like, I want to refer back to hunting things, saving people. But that could just be me.
Yeah. And you're right. Here is where then they get in a little scuffle where Ellen wants to go find Joe and Sam is like, okay, I'll go with. And Dean's like, no. Oh, I'll go. It's all right.
Right. And, then Sam's like, so you don't trust me? You don't think I've learned my lesson? And Dean says, I don't know. Have you? Sam shoves Dean, but neither one of them take it any further.
Yeah.
Which I was like, commendable.
Yeah.
Commendable. It's
like, not the Sam. Time.
Yep. Sam gets himself under control. Dean sees where this is going. And of course, Ellen sees this.
Yes. And brings it up when they're on their little walkabout around the town. And Sam's vague about why there's so much tension around there. And then she just mentions, you know, I know Joe can't really handle this hunter's life, but, you know, at least I'm around to keep an eye on her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how well did that work out? Just saying. Sam is like, oh, look, chimney smoke. And hey, I didn't think demons got cold. So what are they
needed a fire?
Yeah. What are they burning? And I was like, oh, good point. good point. Because, you know, again, sometimes as hunters, they're like on it. They suss out every detail, what it means to be a hunter as opposed to a civilian. But like in this episode, there's a lot of things they missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of signals that they missed. But this one, I was like, ah, good. So Sam's back in touch. He's back in hunter mode.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go to check out this chimney, they go up onto the porch of this house. And unfortunately, Ellen is grabbed from behind.
They're both jumped by demons, and one of them is Joe. After a scuffle, you know, Joe traps her mom, and both of them are saying things to each other like, don't hurt her, get out of my mom, you black-eyed bitch.
Yes. But Ellen is looking at Joe, and Joe has black eyes. Mm-hmm. We don't see Ellen with black Ellen's eyes
point of view Joe's point of view. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and we see a little bit of confusion on Ellen's face when Joe says, get out of my mom, you black-eyed bitch.
Yeah,
because she's like, huh?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
Then Rufus joins in the fight. He takes down Sam, and Sam is able to distract the other guys, including Joe, and says, Ellen, just get out of here and go. Yeah. So he sacrifices himself to the group in order for Ellen
just
to go.
Just as Rufus knocks him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sam wakes up, tied to a chair, under a devil's trap, with a black-eyed Rufus and Joe staring at him.
Yeah.
They douse him with holy water. They force open his mouth and they force salt down his throat the whole time. Sam's like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're doing an exorcism.
Yes.
And you can see like the confusion on both of their faces that
it's
like none of this is working.
Yeah. And of course the whole time Sam is like, can we just talk?
Yeah. Okay, so back in the basement with Ellen, you know, she comes back with the unfortunate news Sam was taken. Dean tries to take off, and then she does convince him, or he convinces himself.
He convinces
rather.
Himself not to go like, running.
Okay,
off.
I need a plan. I need a plan.
Yep. And I just want to say, I want to point out that once again, these group of, I'm just going to keep calling them civilians because they're not hunters and they're not military except for the military guy. But they're doing the cliche praying together, which is, you know, reciting the psalm. Was it Psalm 23 of, you know, oh, yay, though I walk through the shadow of the valley, the, mm-hmm. whatever, the valley of death. And it's so cliche. And I really despise it. I know what it's for. I know it's to give comfort and to banish fear. I understand that. But it's just done every single time there's a group of people who aren't acting on their circumstances, that all they can do is sit and pray about it. I'm like, it just bothers me. I know people need comfort in time of fear and chaos. I get it. I think
it's necessary in this just because it does involve demons.
Yes. It's just cliche.
And there is a preacher there, you know, to kind of head this. And, you know, coming from small town America, it does feel very much like what what a group of people would do in a time like this. It wouldn't be about survival. It would be about oh, God, Lord, please, Jesus, save us.
Please, Jesus, take the wheel. Somebody do something. I get it. I get it. It's still, for me, very cliche. So like you said, Deem almost runs out, leaving everybody behind, but decides to put a plan together. And he turns to them and says, okay, tell me everything. Like, mm-hmm. I need to know what is going on.
Yeah.
So we cut to like Sam back in the chair, Rufus and Joe, you know, why isn't this working?
Yeah. And now we do see their viewpoint. They're looking at Sam, and Sam has black eyes. Black and while eyes. He has his black eyes, he's like, no, guys, wait, something's wrong. Can't you see? Let's just talk.
Yeah. But then at the same time, he sees one of the basement guys standing in the doorway, kind of just watching what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's Mr. He's the widow guy. Who's, we didn't mention this earlier, but his story was his wife tried to kill him with a brick. Yeah. And that's how he knew that she was a demon.
Possessed.
Yeah. He's just kind of hovering in the doorway, like, what's going on in here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Sam's like, hey, it's,
you? Roger. He does a little, you know, something with his ring on his finger. Yeah. And everything goes a little bit more crazy. I don't really remember exactly what happened. I just know that there's a cause and effect with this.
It was because we don't see that Sam has black eyes until he does the twirly thing with his ring.
Maybe.
And then we actually see his eyes go black, and you just see him like confused face, like, what are you guys looking at? You know, what's going on? You know, and his eyes are black, but he has Sam confused face, which is kind of funny because demons can control when their eyes are black or when they're not.
That's true. Yeah.
So the fact that he was all like confused faced.
So back in the safe room, first Ellen tells Dean about Joe and her calling Ellen a black eyed bitch. And then I was like, what kind of demons are these? You know, holy water and salt, like, don't do anything.
Yep.
It's just like they're impervious.
Plus, and then Joe has an anti-possession charm, too.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
Mm-hmm. And then she said Rufus came here because there was some sort of omen with the water. Yeah. And now the locals are finally helpful. And they're saying like, oh, yeah, it ran really polluted. And then the next day the demons showed up. Also, there was this random shooting star that was really big. I don't know if that is has anything to do with it.
Yes. And Dean's like, yes. And
helpful then soldier to know. Guy is thank
like,
you.
Is this like an X-Files? What does he say? Is this all from outer space? And Dean says, this isn't an X-Files. Which I have to admit, the humor behind the characters of Supernatural know about the TV show The X-Files, given that 90% of the crew of Supernatural were involved in the TV show The X-Files. I just love that. I love that Supernatural lives in a world where X-Files exists.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love it. Would that be considered meta? Is that what that is?
A little bit. You know, Marvel does that all the time. You know, I'm specifically thinking of the movie Captain Marvel, where Stan Lee is on a bus somewhere reading a comic book of, I don't remember what it was, but it was one of his own comic books. And that's super meta. And I know it really bothered one of my friends who was just like, Well, that means that he wrote her. I don't know. He just was. I know what it was. He was reading the script of Mallrats, in which he was a cameo in, which is all about like comic book stuff. So that means Stan Lee exists in this universe, which means he wrote Captain Marvel, which I understood where he was coming from, but it's just like, you're reading way too much into it, dude. It's just fun. Stan Lee has to have a cameo. You know this.
Yes. That's kind of like anytime Gene Roddenberry's wife had a cameo on Star Trek, which, you know, if you didn't know who she was, you didn't know who she was. But when she was on, she was always these like outrageous characters, which was hysterical. So Dean, still trying to figure things out when he gets the information about the star falling from the sky and the poisoned water, knows that this is something biblical. So he whipped out the Bible and he's able to find Revelation 8:10, which is, you know, a star falls from the heaven and into the waters, poisons the waters. Some people drink, some people die, some people are merely poisoned, but a lot of people die.
Yeah.
Which is actually Revelation 8:10.
Yeah. Which would probably explain why the Bible was on Bobby's bedside table. They were probably studying up on signs of the apocalypse since, you know, they started it.
Yes, like, since it is nigh.
Yes, I guess we better brush up on some of this research.
Yes.
And luckily, old preacher there is knowledgeable. He's here to say, it's like, oh, this is the coming signs of the four horsemen.
The omen of the four horsemen. Yep. I also love that at the end of that, he's like, wait, did you guys say the apocalypse?
Yeah.
You know, after he helps, like, decipher it, he's like, wait, really? Apocalypse? Yeah. I felt bad for him. But yeah, I thought it was interesting, though, because I read a little bit into Revelation 8:10, and I thought that Supernatural did a spin on it, and they didn't. They didn't, because while it's not specifically war related, you know, four horsemen war related, it is an omen of the apocalypse. And the story is that it poisoned the waters, but people can only live so long without water that they were willing to drink the water and take the chance of being poisoned. And that's how people died. But what that did was so chaos in that if there's no water, people are going to fight over resources. And that's the, you know, the chaos that was inflicted with the wormwood star. So I thought that was very interesting on Supernatural's part.
Yeah.
I also like that Dean, in processing, you know, the four horsemen, what color horse does War ride? The red horse?
No, he asks, like, which one is red? Because...
Oh, okay.
He
Which
saw the red?
Red
Mustang.
Red Mustang. So he didn't know that it was war until it was the priest,
like,
who said,
"You know what? The red car is the horse."
And it's the priest who filled in the gap with war.
With war.
So now they know that war is here in person.
Yeah, and Dean and Ellen have figured it out. It's like, okay, war is just a dude. What if there's no demons at all? It's just him, like, turning everybody against each other.
Right. We think they're demons. They think we're demons.
And now back to Sam. War is there as Roger. You know, Sam has kind of figured it out that, well, at least he's not, like, okay, you're not human. So
right,
what are you?
War sits down in the room with him and has a little monologue.
Yeah, gives him some nice little riddles as clues to who he is. He's like, I've got three siblings.
Yep. I was in Darfur when my pager went off, meaning when you guys opened the door for Lucifer. I think two things were hysterical. A, that he has a beeper. He didn't say pager, he said beeper, which cracks me up. And B, that it was Sam and Dean who called him away from you know, his atrocities in Darfur. Yes, and we're gonna have some fun. Me and my siblings, we're gonna have some fun. Sam figures it out, but mentions, he's like, but War actually said, he's like, oh, you're War and you're doing all this. And War says, you guys didn't need me to do, you're all doing this on your own.
Yeah, it's like, I just blew up a bridge and I gave you a little bit of hallucinations. And
yeah,
the rest
you
was
guys are
just
vicious
you.
Animals. You guys decided to murder each other over this. You see what you want to see.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. But he also tells Sam what Sam doesn't want to hear, which is, I can see inside your mind.
Yeah.
And what I see is blood, blood, blood.
Yeah, he was very specific power. Because he said, you know, like when you were staring at the blood on the knife after you stabbed those guys.
Yep.
And I see your lust for power.
Lust for power, and I want to be strong again.
Yeah.
He's like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You may think that you want to be strong to help people, but that's not what this is.
Yeah.
And while he's doing that, War twists his ring and like blood starts kind of seeping out of his head.
Yeah.
And then he starts screaming.
He's fighting with himself. Yeah. He just like makes a scene.
Why you hitting yourself?
In order for Rufus and Joe to come in. And he's like, oh my God, he did it. And he said, like, they're going to attack us. All the demons are going to come here first.
Wait, poor Sam, still tied to the fucking chair.
He's like, no, he's like, did it.
I didn't do it. He's like, I can't raise my arms over my head, you know?
Yeah.
But of course, that doesn't prevent Rufus from like bitch slapping.
Yeah.
You know, poor Sam again. Yeah.
And then back in the basement, safe room place, Roger is like pounding on the door and he comes in and he's like, oh my God. I just ran into one of the demons and they said that they're going to come and get us. So we got to go kill them before they kill us. But he doesn't know that Dean knows that. I can't do the whole speech. I don't even remember what it is.
That's okay.
But Dean is like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where were you? When did you go? Like, there are no demons.
He's all level headed. But the rest of the freaking, you know, civilians are like, what? They're demons? Yeah. And so War Guy twists his ring and now Ellen and Dean, their eyes turn black. And they're like, it's demons! And they all pick up their guns to try to shoot Ellen and Dean, and Ellen and Dean see them like, oh crap. reaching for the guns. Yeah. They head out.
We gotta go. Yep.
They gotta go. So luckily they didn't train them too well on the use of weapons. So in the meantime, Joe and Rufus are booby-trapping the house.
Yeah, with pipe bombs in the windows. And poor Joe pipe is bombs. Like, but my mom.
My mom may want to come in. But Rufus is like, yeah, but, you know, they move slower with no legs.
Yeah. One of the pipe bombs goes off while they're...
setting other pipe bombs.
Yeah. And then while they're, like, scoping the scene out, of course, we get a jump scare. A nice jump scare moment. Dean pulling Rufus out of the window.
Yes.
Ellen grabbing Joe.
Yep.
And then they each convince the other of what is actually going on.
Yes. I love, though, that Ellen middle names Joe.
Yes.
She's like, you will listen to me, Joanna Beth Harvell. And at the same time, you know, Dean is wrestling with Rufus outside. Rufus, I think, takes a little bit more convincing because he ends up, like, not listening to Dean, kicking him in the nuts. You know, and then wrestling with them some more. And finally, Dean is able to say, it's the horsemen. It was the water. It was, you know, and he's able to convince Rufus to that there's logic. There's logic here. And then as Rufus is gaining understanding, like Dean's eyes clear and he no longer has black eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go inside the house where Elle and Joe are. And they're like, are we good? Are we on the same page? And then it's, you know, Dean's like, hey, Joe. And Joe's like, hey. And that's it. That's the only.
Well, they don't have any time. Yeah, they have no time for a reunion because the other group has now caught up and is shooting inside of the
shooting
house.
Shooting at them. I know, but I was like, that's it. That's the only reunion.
I know. And so while they try to like Sam. keep it under control, Dean goes to free Sam. And they both at the same time when they get into the room are like, it's War. And I love it doesn't happen very often. Stuff. Yes. Like when they figure it out on their own, you know, in different ways, because it shows that they're both smart.
And they're brothers. You know,
they're in sync.
Yes, exactly.
But Sam does have the crucial information to Dean. Is like, oh, he does it with his ring.
With his ring.
And then Dean's like, oh yeah, I did see him do that before like the group turned on us.
So in the meantime, though, the civilians are still shooting at everybody. The priest gets shot, you know, I think somebody else gets shot. And Rufus is like, stop firing. And
yeah.
Ends up yanking the gun out of someone's hand. He's like, stop firing means stop firing, you know. But at the same time, Ellen's been tackled by Soldier Boy, by the, oh, I shouldn't say Soldier Boy. I should say by Soldier Guy. Sorry.
Soldier Boy.
Wrong.
Points his gun at her.
Pulls the trigger.
Yeah, and nothing happens.
And it misfires, and nothing happens. So she, like, knocks the gun out of the way, and then he pulls out a knife and is literally, like, pressing down on her, his strength.
Yeah, she's managed to, like, hold up the gun in order to not slice her, but he just sees black eyes in her the whole time.
So Sam and Dean, in the meantime, catch up to War.
Yeah, he's trying to get into his Mustang and
trying to get into his sexy car, and they grab him, and they've got the Demon Blade. He's like, silly guys, you can't kill War. Yeah. They're like, we know. And in turn, slice his fingers off. And the blood sprays all over Sam, which I think is brilliant, which means now the spell is broken. And so Soldier Guy, who is looking at Ellen, sees her eyes clear and suddenly stops. He doesn't kill Ellen. He was very close to.
Everyone's eyes go to normal. It kind of seems like not only does everyone's eyes go back to normal, but it's like the veil was lifted completely.
Yeah.
Because even the guy who got his gun taken away from Rufus, you know, he's like putting his head in his hands like, oh my God, what did we do? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a part of me wanted to say, you've seen them without the black eyes. So what makes you think that now everything's okay just because their eyes have been cleared? And it's because, like you said, the veil's been lifted. It's not just that their eyes aren't black. It's that the hallucination is over.
Yeah. So, and then War and his horse have completely disappeared.
Yes.
All that's left is his ring. This car was actually super, super expensive to buy, and the prop-wise or scenic-wise. And they were not allowed to do this, like, slicing thing on top of the car.
Anywhere near the car.
Yeah. Like, but all the car guys were just really anxious and been like, get away from the car, don't touch it.
Oh, my God, that's too funny. I could totally see that, of course. Yeah.
So now later, we're in our wrap-up scene.
Later down the road.
Dean throws a Mount Doom reference
to this ring.
Made me go, you know Lord of the Rings? Like, that's a thing that you would be into.
Right? Well, everyone knows about Mordor. Come on. Right?
No. Yes.
So he's like, so, you know, how do we get rid of the ring? What do we do with the ring? Do we, like, demolish it in Mount Doom?
Right.
And there's no answer to that, by the way. There's no answer because...
Yeah. See, Sam goes straight into confession time.
Yeah. I just want to point out how beautiful this panoramic scenery was.
Yeah, I know.
It was in such contrast to the chaos and destruction they just left. It was so beautiful to see them just sitting there at a park bench, you know, picnic bench with like mountains and trees in the background. And it was just gorgeous and it was quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't alone, but they also weren't like in the middle of anything. And I just thought that was a nice juxtaposition to the destruction they just left.
Right.
You know, and now they're having the talk, mm-hmm. you know, another brother's talk. And Sam is the one who points out to Dean, he's like, you know, we have to talk. And Dean says, no, we don't have to. But Sam says, we do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't trust me. And that's okay, because I don't trust myself. You know, I don't. The problem is me. It's like, I can't blame the demon blood. I can't blame Ruby. The problem is actually me.
Yeah.
You know, because I want that. I want those things.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still struggling with his instincts and his, you know, frankly, his addiction to the blood, but not just the blood, but like what it brings him.
Right. The power.
The feeling that it brings him.
And the ability to help, the ability to save people.
Yes. And that he knows is like, you know, I tell myself it's for all this good thing, all these good things, but they're not, you know, they're not actually good.
Right. He says, but I can see that. But that just means that I can't be a hunter. You know, I can't be around it. You can't trust me. I don't trust myself. And it's dangerous. And it's best we go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm. And Dean doesn't argue. He's like, right. You're right.
Yeah, but he's not flippant about it, though.
No,
that's
he's
the
not.
Thing.
No. There's no fight. There's no...
Yeah.
There's no rubbing it in his face either. It's just a, yes, that is a logical conclusion, and I agree with that conclusion. Yeah,
because I can't do my job because I'm always thinking about you, which if you think about it, when you flip back to this episode, he did that exact same thing. He was ready to rush off, try to save Sam, leaving all of those people behind, unprotected. And he stopped.
Yeah.
And he put those people ahead of Sam, mm-hmm. which normally he couldn't do. It's all about save Sam.
Yeah.
And so it definitely makes sense. And Sam says, I'm sorry. And Dean says, I know you are, mm-hmm. which is huge. The apology, which was heartfelt and not whining, not like, I'm sorry. It was, I'm sorry. And Dean accepted the apology and said, I know.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it's not just words. It's not just coming out of you. It's not just words.
Yeah.
And the ultimate sacrifice in this is that Dean says, I know you have to go, but do you want the Impala?
I know. Offers him the Impala. And not as a joke either. It was like legitimate. Like,
thankfully, I think Sam said, no.
Yeah.
You know, and so goes and gets his duffel out of baby and hitches a ride with some Fisher camper guy.
Mm-hmm.
And off he goes. And Dean is left behind at the picnic bench watching, you know, Sam drive away to be himself.
Yeah.
To find himself. And it wasn't, I mean, because this is not the first time that they've gone their separate ways. But like the first time, Sam left in a snit.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
That was first season, right? When he first runs into Meg before we know that she's Meg.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So he went off in a snit. And that was like younger brother, you know.
Yeah.
Tantrum type of thing.
Yeah.
This is, I need to do what's right for the both of us, for me, so that we can be brothers mm-hmm. again.
Yeah, the at our best.
And I get that. I 100% get that. That's how my sister always was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she always would always, she was always the one to come back and say, let's be sisters, you know, but we have to fix this and then we can be sisters again. But if it was up to me, I'd still be in a snit. Absolutely, 100%. I would still be in a snit somewhere. So I appreciate Sam in this moment.
Yeah.
For having to do the hard thing, which is, as much as I want to be with my brother, I need to go. And so bravo for Sam for making the hard choice.
Yeah. And then that's the end of that episode.
And when it ended, I went, wait, what about Ellen and Joe?
and Rufus, like, and like the town, like, and what happened?
I was like, I don't care about the town. I care about Ellen, Joe, and Rufus. I was like, these are our people.
Yeah.
Well. I don't care about the town, but I was like, that's it. There was no, okay, I'll call you later, or hey, it was good to see you, or...
I guess that was off camera, you know, like that happened before they went to the picnic bench.
It was in another scene that we just don't get to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I literally wrote down, wait, that's it.
I know. It was a bummer to not see like a, oh man, thanks.
Yeah. Or a take care of yourself, boys, mm-hmm. you know, pat on the bum from the mom character,
right.
Or the unspoken, you know, we fucked up. You know, Joe and Dean type of thing. And Rufus.
Right.
But we're left with, we don't know where Cass is. We, you know, Bobby's still in a wheelchair. And we assume that Rufus, Ellen, and Joe are...
I don't know, somewhere else.
off and running. So, there you go. Episode 2, pretty good episode. I think it was actually... as far as leading us further into season 5, I'm glad they didn't overload us with Lucifer, you know, let Mark Pellegrino stew for a while.
Yeah, right. Now we know what the mission is. You know, they took down one horseman, they got 3 more to go.
3 more. And we know how to
get through 20-ish episodes.
Yep, and we know how to get them. We know how to get the horsemen. You just got to get their rings.
Yep.
So good episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. And I do like how they made the horses cars. You know,
yes.
This one in particular is a sports car. I gotta be honest with you, I can't remember what the other cars are yet, but we will get there.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But I do love that it's not just hunters who get like classic muscle cars at this point.
It's also biblical characters.
Yes, very good. I also think it's funny that they chose a Mustang for, I mean, it makes sense because it's a horse.
Yeah.
But also Mustang was like the original car that Kripke wanted Dean to drive.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was a Mustang. Mm. And it was one of Kripke's friends who's like, you can't put a body in the trunk of a Mustang. Oh. So that's one of the reasons why they pivoted away from the Mustang. That's funny.
The next one is Free to Be You and Me.
I wonder what song that one's about.
And I don't remember what this one is about at all. I just know that they are apart.
Separate. You know? Yeah. This isn't... Oh, no, that's later down the road. This isn't the chin-ups one with us.
No, that's a whole other season. Sorry.
I have to wait.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Please be sure to subscribe to us anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Also, rate us if you have the capability to rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I honestly don't remember all the ones that do. I just know that Apple does for sure.
Yeah, give us thumbs up. You can just on YouTube, give us a thumbs up anywhere.
Oh, yeah. YouTube, please subscribe, follow, notification, all of that jazz on YouTube. You can also follow us on all social media. We are at Salt and Burn This everywhere. And that's going to be it for this week. And please tune in next week for Free to Be You and Me for episode 3. So much rhyming. Okay.
Oh, no.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.